Psalm 37. Not all of it, but a nice portion. And we're going to read from verses 3 down through 7. But there's four real key words in this series of scripture, starting in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. In verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. So there's a lot of meat and potatoes in those few verses. And the first one, coming back to verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. There are two portions of that I would like to briefly talk about. The word trust, we as believers often use that word about trusting in the Lord. But if you're not a believer and you might be reading these scriptures for some comfort, I know a lot of people that haven't made that commitment to Christ yet, but they still find comfort in the scriptures, even though they haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives, because the word ministers to everyone. They just don't understand it spiritually, because without the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to. But to trust is to give over, commit with confidence something to another for care, protection, and performance. And so in my notes I put, to give over, commit with confidence something. What is it in your life that you are reminded from time to time to commit it to or give it to the Lord with confidence? Confidence is a key word, because whatever you give to God, don't try to take it back. If you gave it to him, leave it there. It's the safest place your cares and your concerns can be. You can tell everybody else, but they'll just always talk about it, but they won't be too helpful in helping you to get rid of those cares and anxieties, worries and fears, issues of life. But when you trust in the Lord, when you commit them to him for care, protection, or performance, those are the things that God watches over. He watches over us. He watches over his word to perform it. So when you give things to him in trust, he watches over those so that you don't have to take that burden and responsibility back of fretting or worrying or being concerned about anything. I remember one time Faith said, I act like I don't care. And it wasn't a bad thing. I said, I care, I just don't let the cares get me. And I think that's where we all are going to have to come to in our faith walk. It isn't that we don't have cares. We don't want the cares to have us. And there's a difference. When you give them to the Lord and you trust him to work things out, he knows every breath that we'll take in this life. He knows our due date. He knew when we'd be born. He looks around the corner in the highway of life and sees things that we don't yet see. So when we trust him with our life, this is all part of it. And we can be confident because God is a faithful God. He watches over his word to perform it. His word is the truth. And we can count on that. Doing good. That's the next part. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good is a way of life for the believer. Seeking to help and to bless and to prosper others before we think of ourselves. Doing good. We're called to serve the Lord, and to serve the Lord, we serve His people. We serve others. We put their needs before our own. And Faith reminded me of a wonderful scripture that goes along with that, and I'm just going to read it, see if you ever remember hearing it. Galatians 6:9, it goes like this, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." See, there's no end to doing good in the life of a believer. It's a part of our new life. Putting the needs of others before our own, and God will take care of us. And in our time of need, He'll send somebody into our life to help. Like a couple that's helping Jana down in Florida. They're driving over from Zephyr Hills. It's on the north and the western side of the state of Florida, but they're driving all the way to the southeast. They're people that used to be here years ago when we planted the church in 1988. And so that's how we know some of these people from way long time ago. They've gone over to help her today. And that's why I prayed the way we did, because I knew they were en route, but it's still a long journey, even one way. It's a couple hundred miles. And but when we do good for others, we reap what we sow. And that's just the fact about that. And if you want a good garden, then you got to plant good seeds. We will always reap what we sow. And I wrote down, some of us may need to pray for a crop failure in that regard, because, you know, the words and the deeds that we've done haven't always been the best. And sometimes people get in a big mess and they wonder, how did that happen? Where did that come from? And if you backtrack, those things you might have said and spoke something into existence, like the genie, you can't put him back in the bottle. You know, once those words are out there, they're going to create what you spoke. And when you see people's lives that seem to be chaos and upheaval, if you go back and help them navigate through the last 6 months, 8 months, maybe even a lifestyle and a pattern of life in the years, and if that's all they sow, that's all they reap. And you can't help that. It's a spiritual law. And the only way you can do that is to undo it by speaking right words, in which we're going to do. That word study is coming. So be ready. It's coming again. I did it in 2016. I look back to see how long ago. And 7 people have asked me to do that again. And it's a really powerful teaching on words. But doing good, speaking right, speaking good over people's lives, even when you don't feel like doing it. It takes great discipline sometimes to chuck the feelings, chuck the emotions, and do the right things. But doing good, that's why it says doing good. And it says, and verily you shall be fed. That means you can have the assurance that even these 2 things, if you trust in the Lord and you do good, that means doing good for others, even the people in your household, your neighbors, people on your street, everywhere you go to do business. Don't be grumpy and grouchy in the stores to people. They don't need that. You should have a joyful step in your steps. We should have. Do we always? No. But doing good is something that's going to bring really good out of that. And I have a couple examples of that. Doing good, extended for the well-being or improvement of others. Extending well-being. Not like when a car goes down the road 90 miles an hour and I say, oh, I hope there's a cop down there, give him what he deserved. But the Holy Spirit is going to be quick to say, aren't you glad I didn't give you what you deserve? So don't you be speaking that stuff over other people. They got what they deserved, because we didn't. And that was because of God's grace and His mercy. So watch okay, this is just be attentive to not out of a wrong spirit say something that is going to hinder somebody or hurt them. Doing good is doing these things. Opposite of selfish and self-centeredness, even toward our so-called enemies. And we're even told what to do in that event. Therefore, if your enemy be hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. That doesn't mean you're going to burn him to death by cooking his head. It's just a phrase. But it means it's going to melt a cold, stony heart if you do these things. So doing good to the Christian is a way of life, and sometimes it's good that we talk about these things together. So when you read this psalm the next time on your own, the Holy Spirit will help you remember. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be filled. Dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. And to live in, be attached to the things of the kingdom of God, abiding in Christ. Those are all what it means to dwell in the land. We live in the kingdom of God now, even though it's a spiritual kingdom. We're in it because of Christ. And so doing good for others should be our first instincts. Not last, like it was before we were saved, and we didn't really know what it was like to trust the Lord at those times. So we had to find our own way and make our own way, and it's not always easy. But when we trust in the Lord, He takes care of all of those things. So if we will put these things in order, trusting in Him, doing good, He says, surely. No, it didn't say surely. He said, you shall dwell in the land. So there's a promise there, but you have to look at the condition before you claim the promise. If we are going to live the quality of life that God wants us to live, because He does promise us those things, find out what the condition is and release your faith and start walking out the condition, and you'll have the provision, because they go together oftentimes in the same verse of Scripture. So you got to pick it apart a little bit, feed on it, meditate on it, and let it get down in your spirit, man, where the next time you encounter a situation, you'll be able to better handle that and not have to call all of your friends, oh, please pray for me. Not that that's not a good thing, but there comes a time when God expects us to learn how to walk out our own faith. And it's wonderful to be able to call somebody and they'll have an answer. And I always prefer that. There's a lot of things that I could be helpful in, but I don't impose that into somebody's life unless they ask, because then I know that I have a willing heart to converse with. So anyway, that's the first section. And we'll have some more after Huggy Break. Don't know if we'll get through it or not. I got a lot of notes, but it's all good.